All right, we are underway. T-minus a couple of hours, and of course, let's add 15 to that because the Chicago Bears will exercise every single minute before they select Caleb Williams, who's dressed to the nines, right? Apparently, it includes nail polish. And, hey, I mean, it's 2024. There's absolutely nothing wrong with wearing nail polish. I'm trying to think, the only athlete I can ever really comes to mind has ever worn it is a catcher, right? Yeah, try to identify how many fingers you're laying down so the pitcher can see whether it's a fastball, whether it's a slider, maybe a dancing bear or what have you. But he's got his own style. Jay, well, you don't have to worry about that. I think there's a lot of teams around the NFL right now saying, are you kidding me? We're going to invest our future in a guy who paints his nails and a guy who cries to his mama after losing. Does that identify, does that specify what a winning quarterback is supposed to be? Let me tell you something. Chicago's a great town. I think they're a very passionate town. Bears are number one. Is it a tough town? Well, I spent 7 years there. I would say, to some extent, yes. It's nowhere in the realm of Boston, New York, and Philadelphia. It's not even in the same stratosphere. I mean, it's not even close. But anyway, we'll see. Unless something incredible happens here, you know, an offer that would be just absolutely enormous over the next couple of minutes, expect that to take place. Matter of fact, I think chalk is going to happen early on. I think we're going to see three straight quarterbacks go, very similar to 2021. Right? Remember that year where Trevor was first here for the Jags, and then the things that fell apart after with Zach Wilson and Trey Lance. And, you know, that appears to be what is going to happen tonight with Williams and then Daniels. It was all that talk about McCarthy going to Washington, what was it, a month ago, 6 weeks ago. Jaden Daniels, who I voted for to win the Heisman Trophy this year. I honestly think he is going to be, for what it's worth, the best prospect out of any one of these QBs who gets selected tonight or any other time throughout the NFL draft process. I just think Jaden Daniels is going to be that guy at 6'4", 210 pounds, and obviously he can throw the ball. He had unbelievable weapons while at LSU. And I know you could say, well, they lost a lot of games. Really his fault, right? It was the defense that couldn't get it done. But anyway, Drake May at third, you know, the third pick overall. And then it becomes so intriguing. You know, what is going to happen beginning with Arizona? It really feels like they are in the cat-bird position. You know, it's almost as if, let's be honest, the draft will start tonight around 8:40 or so, 8:35, 8:40. Whenever it is that that fourth pick is actually made, and I'm assuming that some will get taken before the total allotted time does go through. Maybe wrong. I mean, we've seen crazier things. But nonetheless, Arizona, an opportunity now to really make some moves. Yes, they love Marvin Harrison Jr., but there's a feeling that they could move down a couple of spots and you know, end up getting whoever it may be that they covet. The Giants are talking about moving up. The Broncos have talked about moving up. The Raiders want to move up. The Minnesota Vikings want to move up. They all want to get a quarterback. And if they believe that it's still a position that they can go up just a couple of spots to grab a guy at number four, and, you know, what would have to happen in order for that to take place? Is that going to be a move all the way up there to get Drake May? Well, if Drake May goes number three to New England, probably not. New England has fielded a lot of calls today. At least that's what the people are telling us. So if it is the top three quarterbacks, would that all of a sudden make Arizona as still attractive as anyone else? I don't know at this point. I mean, the J.J. McCarthy situation is intriguing. But again, it felt early on like the club that had the most interest in him was in Washington, D.C., and now most believe that, in fact, that is not going to be the case there with McCarthy Instead, again, they're going to go to Jaden Daniels. So it does feel like the draft begins with Arizona. If they stand put, they get Marvin Harrison Jr. All it takes is one team to believe that they can get a quarterback. Could we see four straight QBs tonight selected, four in a row? I think it would be not earth-shattering, but I think it's something you have to really expect at this particular time. I think organizations, year in, year out, get desperate. And they want to be able to find the quarterback who is going to lead them to the promised land. And Arizona's got a QB, right? And whether you're happy or disappointed with Kyler Murray, they got a ton of money invested in him. So they could drop a couple of spots here, allow a team to move up, snatch a guy like J.J. McCarthy, or he would be the guy, J.J. McCarthy. And then all of a sudden, Arizona could fall down a couple of spots and possibly still get Marvin Harrison Jr. We shall see. You know, a similar situation needs to be said at number five, where the Chargers are. They have a quarterback. Those same teams, particularly Denver, Las Vegas, and Minnesota, talking about moving up to get a QB. So it's really four and five where I think you could forecast possible movement. And, you know, the over-under tonight is anywhere from 5.5 to 6, 6.5 trades that are expected to happen during the first round. Man, it's such a risk. It really is. And you know, I'm going to slide my attention over to Trent Baalke. And tonight it's on the Sergeant. It is on Sergeant Baalke tonight to make the moves. And I am cautiously optimistic here. But at least for the time being, you don't have to worry about that. And my conversation with Tom McManus last night, I thought was really intriguing with the way that he said, do you really want to start all over again? And this talk of a contract extension, this talk of getting it done now as opposed to later, my camp and what I've always believed is why wait? Or excuse me, absolutely wait. Wait that fourth year. He hasn't earned it yet. It's not all his fault. I want to go through the litany of reasons why it hasn't been working, at least to the success that most of us believed. I still think it is going to happen. But let him go out there and play this year for $11.7 million. Can you imagine if Jackson was back again looking for a QB? Just how scary that is. I mean, J.J. McCarthy? Caleb Williams? Drake May? Michael Penix? Bo Nix? You know, that's to me, that's more fearsome than it is joyous. I just don't know if any one of those QBs really is going to have what it takes to be a quote-unquote franchise guy. I happen to remain very high, as I did say, on Jaden Daniels, so I'll let it sit with that. But let's get the Baalke. A lot of pressure on him coming up. And, hey, for what it's worth, Mel Kiper today said Penix would not slide past number 13. That is wonderful news for Jaguar fans. If you can have a fifth quarterback in the top 13 spots selected, what does that mean? Another position player who will be available for the Jaguars coming up at number 17. And, you know, tonight's draft is supposed to be just incredibly loaded with offensive players. This is going to be a record-setting draft. Right? There are going to be five quarterbacks selected tonight. And you can go to Vegas. You can go anywhere. You can go to a pool hall if you want. Or, you know, I don't know which port you go to or what side of town or docks that you visit every once in a while if you want to lay a couple of C notes down. But it's 4.5. If you're getting at 5, you got robbed. 4.5 had been forever quarterbacks in the first round. It's easy money. It's a shoo-in. It's a guarantee. It's just like what I told you last year. The Jaguars will win the AFC South. Oh, good thing I don't bet. But five quarterbacks, okay? You're going to get that tonight. You could have a sixth. If Bo Nix gets selected or Michael Penix Jr. gets selected, that's six quarterbacks who are going to go tonight. You're going to have at least five wide receivers. Some mocks have a sixth or a seventh wide receiver going in the first round. You're going to have at least 10 offensive linemen selected tonight. There have been three times in the history of the NFL draft where the offense has had 19 first-round selections out of the 32 picks, the last being in 2009. That is expected to get broken tonight. And what's interesting about this, a running back is not going to go in the first round. You had two running backs who went in the first round a year ago. Many believe Trey Benson out of Florida State is going to be the first running back selected, but that is not going to happen until round number two. So, a very heavy offensive draft, which gets us to the Jaguars at number 17. Before I really begin to roll into Trent Baalke, let me tell you, Jay Smoo is going to join us in 20 minutes. We're going to talk with Jimmy Smith about the draft tonight. I also have that JJ just put together. It's wonderful. We've put together a little scenario of what you as Jaguar fans, what would you want most if you could pick one of these four possibilities in tonight and tomorrow night's draft combined, okay? I mean, yes, we have pulled out all the stops for this particular show. And you can get it. Just go to 1010XL92.5 on Twitter. Here are the options. The combination of Thomas and Jenkins, right? Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver, or Chris Jenkins, the defensive tackle out of Michigan. Again, this is tonight and tomorrow night. What is a best-case scenario for you as a Jaguars fan? That is option number one. Option number two, Terrion Arnold, Adonai Mitchell, okay, going corner, wide receiver. Option number three, Quinyon Mitchell, Keon Coleman, getting the corner that has been very coveted and very talked about out of everyone on this list. He's the guy I know the least amount about because he played at Toledo. Obviously, Keon Coleman, I know a whole heck of a lot about. You could get him, or forget about the draft picks. You just somehow end up with T. Higgins, who is unhappy, who wants a trade, and is he going to get moved tonight, along with a lot of other significant possible opportunities for already very good football players who are out there, whether it's Patrick Surtain, whether it is Deebo Samuel, whether it's Brandon Ayuk. I elected T. Higgins. So again, if you want to check it out, and right now we just threw it out there a couple of minutes ago. We already have 70 votes. Thomas and Jenkins, Arnold and Mitchell. That's the wide receiver Mitchell. We have as well Quinyon Mitchell, the defensive back, Keon Coleman, and T. Higgins. So again, four opportunities. Have a little bit of fun tonight. Tell us what you like, dislike, and as well, you can always comment on that on the text line brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. That number is 641-1010. All right, to Baalke. Todd McShay, who's, you know, no longer with ESPN, and I really respect Todd and his work. I go way back with him when he was working with Gary Horton and the Hour Lads and those folks. Not Hour Lads, but the War Room, which has now fallen way under, and it did so about a decade ago. But they were a part of the Sporting News, if you remember that particular War Room, way back when. And I thought they were very good at what they did, but Todd McShay says that right now the Jaguars and the Colts are exploring opportunities to move up to get Brock Bowers. Okay, let's be honest about this. For starters, I love the language. I love the report. I love the drop, whether it's planted or not, because what I hope is if Indianapolis has to move up, it's going to cost them that much more. Why not put Jacksonville right there next to Indianapolis? For you diehard Jag fans, it feels like for the last several months, whenever you really get excited about a possibility of a player coming to Jacksonville, it feels like Indy, two spots ahead of Jacksonville, is in a position to snatch up the guy you really want. And there are similar needs in Indianapolis, including a DB as well as a wide receiver. I don't believe Jacksonville is going to move up to get Brock Bowers for several reasons. Number one, what does that do to the Baalke ego? What does that do to his second round selection a year ago with Brenton Strange? It's just flat out admitting, hey, we got this one wrong. How about a mulligan, right? What are some of the greatest mulligans in the history of sports? Well, certainly the Gators in 1996 when they lost in late November, and that game just, it didn't count, for Christ's sakes. Let's have a rematch in the Sugar Bowl. Maybe you can give me a couple of other mulligans. Feel free. 641-1010 on the text line, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. But do you think that that's what's going to happen here tonight? That Trent Baalke's going to say, I admit it, we made a mistake. We used the second round pick, a fringe pick, on Brenton Strange, and it backfired on us. We got nothing out of it. We're going to move up, which means it's going to cost you more to move up. And Baalke's done that. He moved up a couple of years ago to get Devin Lloyd, right? Some are not happy with that particular move. Who's yelling? Do we know? Who's yelling that's picking up in my headset? Is there anything we can do about that? So are we going to have admittance to a mistake that was made by Baalke? I don't believe it. Deanna Russini, who the last time we actually heard from her, came out and told us that Doug Marrone was going to be fired, right? Remember, the very next day, there had to be an address that came out. Jim Woodcock, the publicist for Shot Khan, had to come out and say, no. He's not going to be fired. That report was erroneous. Don't know how that information got out. Well, even if it did, it was wrong. That's okay. We all make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. But we haven't heard from Deanna Russini in a very long period of time. Now, all of a sudden, she's got information that the Jags are going to move up to get a wide receiver. Okay? We've spoken on that since, I don't know, forever, including when we met with Trent Baalke and when we met with Doug Peterson, a week ago today. My feeling out of that was they would not move up for a wide receiver. They could still move up for a defensive back, but not all the way up into the top eight, top nine, whatever it may be, to get a wide receiver. Still, she's got that report that's out there right now. For what it's worth, there are people who believe there could be as many as 18 wide receivers selected this year in the first 85 overall picks. Think of that. What does it mean? It is a very rich position. It is a tremendously talented position. Once again, coming out of the college game. The only problem for Jacksonville is they screwed it up a couple of years ago with Laviska Shenault. I mean, that was another very rich wide receiver class, and they didn't get it done that year. Obviously, they made a mistake. That entire draft was a mistake. When you look at C.J. Henderson, Ke'Lavon Chaisson, Laviska Shenault, Ben Barch, yada, yada, yada. It was really, really bad. But let's analyze what's going on here tonight now for Trent Baalke. Okay, he's actually done a very good job, historically speaking, in his very short tenure in Jacksonville. First-round pick, Anton Harrison. That was an A. First-round pick, Trayvon Walker. I think people are scared to give it an A. I think they're scared. He's getting better. He got better as the season went along, and I think his best football is ahead. Devin Lloyd, okay, that's a six-pack argument, maybe even eight or nine beers. He made more plays, but it's nowhere near the production that was expected. Agree? Especially after the trade-up. Trevor Lawrence, we talk about it every night. Travis Etienne, yeah. Travis Etienne, to me, has been an A. Used too much. Right? I mean, they have until May 2nd to pick up that fifth-year option, but I think I never would have drafted him there, but that's not the conversation. It's how would you grade him, giving him an A? I think Travis Etienne has worked. Second-round picks, Brenton Strange, that's an F. Okay, that could change as early as year two. And remember, we only have 1 year to grade that. Right now, it's an F. He did absolutely nothing. And for what it's worth, I think he's going to play better football. I do. I think that that is the case. They didn't have a second round in 2022. Remember, they made the move to get up to Devin Lloyd. Second round pick in 2021, right? Tyson Campbell. Really good pick. He was injured last year. And look where he was eight games in. He looked like a colossal bust. Totally turned it around. Had a very good year in 2022. That's their next biggest decision after Trevor, which isn't a decision. It's about money. What are they going to do with Tyson Campbell? Walker Little, failure, okay? And I blame the organization. I blame the coaching staff there. They have absolutely abused that guy, okay? I mean, if there was ever a blueprint on how to not treat a second-round pick, I would show you Walker Little. They have screwed this thing up since day one. They just have. And again, That's what the Caldwell regime did, and that's what the Bulkey regime is doing. Drafting guys and then asking them to play a position they're not familiar with. Why? Why do they do it? Draft a guy tonight who plays a position and then ask him to play that position at the NFL. Walker Little was a left tackle at Stanford. Yeah, he was injured. Oh, we need to make him a right tackle. Anton Harrison's a left tackle. We're going to play him right. Draft a guy and play him at that position. It's pretty simple. Yet this franchise just doesn't do it. It's amazing. Third round picks, Tank Bigsby, F. Although I'm ahead of his camp. You go, Tank. There's only two things I can think of, right? Go girl and you go Tank. I see it right now. Bigsby, the four. Bigsby, touchdown, Tank Bigsby. 73,000. Listen, I can just feel it right now. It's Bigsby's year. It's coming up. Third round pick, Luke Fortner. Weak. Weak. Chad Muma. What a bust. Oh, my God. Can't even get on the field. Well, they're rich there, Billy. Lillicon, Lloyd. They're rich. They're rich. It was a bad pick. Third round in 2021, Andre Sisco. Very good football player. Quickly now, fourth round, Ventrell Miller. They gave him an IR. They just basically said, hey, listen, that's how we do it around here. You know, ETN came in, but it's going to let, you know, he gets injured. He's out a year. So that's kind of the way we do it. Ventrell, take the year off. You know, keep in touch with us. Let us know, you know, how everything is going. But just take the year off. Tyler Lacy. Who? Tyler Lacy. Okay. I think he's got a great opportunity if the light goes on. He also could be, what, J2 Phalade, you know, by camp, right? I mean, it could happen, or he could shine. They didn't have a fourth rounder in 2022. Their fourth rounder in 2021 was the aforementioned J2 Phalade. All right, fifth round on. Yeah, we won't waste much more time on that. So, because most, you know, you look at really the four rounds, and that's where you find most of your starters. In this league, if you look at Jacksonville, they got one starter from a year ago in the top four rounds. They got, I guess you can say, three starters in 2022 in the first four rounds, although Luke Fortner now is gone, so that's down to two. First four rounds of the best draft that this organization has possibly ever had makes so much sense with Lawrence, Etienne, Campbell, set aside Walker Little, Andre Sisco. I guess it only does become four because J.T. Feley, as we said, was also selected in the fourth round. I forgot to mention a fourth round pick, Jordan Smith, who never made this organization as well. Jordan Smith was also part of the Travis Etienne, Ventrell Miller. Hey, good to have you with us. Take a year off. Just come right in and sit out a year, get used to your surroundings, and then we'll end up cutting you. once you show that you effectively cannot play. So where's the faith tonight? There's the history. And the 2021 one is suspect because I don't care who you are, right? I mean, Stevie Wonder could have selected Trevor Lawrence. And I believe that Travis Etienne was an Urban Meyer pick. I don't know that, but it's my belief. Despite it, I think he's drafted pretty good in the first round and with his higher picks. I think tonight, tomorrow night, he's going to double down and have a good draft. I believe that. I do. Am I on a little something? Well, that's your decision to make, listening. I am just under the belief that they're going to make the right picks this year. I think they're stung by a year ago. I think they were incredibly arrogant with their draft selections a year ago, and it hurt them. Not to say that those guys won't respond this year. You've got to find a player tonight. You've got to find a player tomorrow night that can play for the Jaguars this year, a significant role, a starter or a huge role this year. You can't draft fringe players. Opening comments brought to you by Schmunez Vision, okay? There's a franchise team right there. They're ahead of my franchise, no doubt about it. Dr. Neil Schmunez, I've known forever. Okay, this is a guy who has more than 37 years worth of experience. Dr. Catherine Shmunez, fellowship trained cornea cataract surgery, all refractive surgery. They have so much trust in one another. They've done surgery to one another in the office over at Shmunez Vision, right? I mean, that should say something as well. Check them out online. Just go to Shmunez Vision on Instagram, which is really hip. And that includes some outstanding testimonials. Laser eye surgery is something that I can't even imagine how cool it would be. I wish I was a candidate. I'm not, because I had surgery on my eye performed by Dr. Neil Shmunez, but it's very affordable. And laser eye surgery, just imagine the rest of your life never having to worry about not seeing something or fatigue in your eyes or replacing your contacts or looking for your glasses. It would just be 20/20 vision for the rest of your days. Check them out. Go to Shmunez Vision. That is Shmunez Vision Care. You can see. All right, we got an awful lot to do tonight. It's going to be a blast here. We'll take you right up until 8 o'clock and the NFL draft. But let's keep things moving. On the other side, let's talk with the great Jimmy Smith, who goes into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, a lot of good stuff coming in on the text line, as I would expect. 641-1010, if you'd like to get on in our text line. We're trying to track down Jimmy Smith. Once we make that happen, we will certainly put him on the airwaves and find out what the greatest wide receiver to ever play the game here in Duval, and arguably the greatest player, period, to ever play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. What are they going to do tonight? I got to believe he's going to go with a wide receiver just because that's his position. I mean, we had Aaron Beasley in here a couple of nights ago. Aaron Beasley was like, hey, you got to draft the best overall DB available. He actually said Nate Wiggins, right? And that incredible, what was it, 4.29 speed. I happen to think if they do draft one tonight, Mitchell is the guy that they would love, Quinyon Mitchell. There's been a lot of talk about Terry and Arnold. There's been some talk, you know, about possibly falling into the second round. I think you go corner first and you go wide receiver in the second round simply because there's more available wide receivers. And as I said at the top, there could be as many as 18 or so out of the top 85 players selected in this year's draft as a wide receiver. I mean, it's a much better offensive class than it is a defensive class. And that's going to be the case again in the first round. We're expecting record-setting numbers to actually happen tonight, and that includes what we gather will not include a running back. Let's get to Trent Baalke. He was asked about wide receivers when we met with him last week, and the Jaguars general manager had this to say.
I think it's a very good group of receivers, obviously. I think those three that everybody's talking about are really good football players. I think there's some guys in that next wave that are really good football players, too. And I think there's good players all the way through the draft at that position. There's going to be some later-round guys that make a mark for themselves at some point in their careers in this league as well. So it's a good group. There's a lot of variations of guys. Guys strictly in the slot, guys strictly out on the perimeter. There are some guys that can move around the formations a little bit more. So it's a good group of receivers.
Which one do you think they'll pick based on recent history, right? I mean, that's a valid question. The assumption would be a guy who can move all around, right? Now, this organization is pretty hell-bent on drafting a guy who's never played a position and making him play that position. But, hey, they know much more than I do, admittedly so. Let me throw this to you. If they go for it tonight, thumbs up. I mean, honestly, thumbs up. I rolled out of there last Thursday convinced there's no way they're moving into the top 10 to get Malik Nabers, to get Adunze. There's reports now that are continuously growing as we move minute to minute to the top of the NFL draft, which is going to begin at 8 o'clock. And It's just great for starters to have Jacksonville relevant and not relevant with the top pick, okay? You can't help but be relevant when you have the top pick 2 years in a row, like they did in 2021 and 2022. Everyone's talking about Jacksonville during those 2 years, kind of like everyone right now is talking about the Chicago Bears because they select number one coming up here in an hour and 20 minutes. But isn't it great to have Duval in the game, in the conversation? You know, what are they going to do? Are they going to move up? My opinion, stay. Stay where you are. Get a good football player at 17. Tomorrow night, get a good football player at number 48. However, if they are convinced that either one of these two wide receivers, they're not going to get Marvin Harrison Jr., right? I just think that he's top five, even if Arizona trades, even if L.A., regardless of what happens there. If someone trades up to get a quarterback, if it does go 1-2-3, you know, as we expect with Williams and Daniels and May, and then Arizona and or Los Angeles gets a great offer from the Giants or Denver or Las Vegas or whoever will get a quarterback, I still think Harrison Jr.'s gone, and that's the asking price is too much. But if you start to get down around 9 or 10, it's still going to be a lot. And I don't have the table in front of me. I looked at the table before. I'm just not a – I don't know what it is. That whole draft table, you know, what invented by Jimmy Johnson, and there were draft tables prior to that of scenarios, but I guess the Jimmy Johnson one actually made it the perfect science, if you will. You got to give credit to this franchise if this is what they are going to try to do. So I know some of you want it, right? You're convinced. Get one of those two. That is a game-breaking wide receiver. You know, can we just for once, and I was going to ask Jimmy Smith this, if we're able to get him on the horn. Trends are fair to an extent. The Trent Baalke trends are fair based on his 3 years as a general manager. We just went over it a couple of minutes ago. But the almost 30 years worth of the Jaguars franchise trend of having no clue, zero clue, okay, on how to draft a wide receiver should not apply tonight. And if it does, then you're wrong, okay? You're way out of bounds. If any one of you, anywhere, is saying, oh my gosh, they can't draft a wide receiver, they drafted R.J. Soward. They drafted Matt Jones. They drafted Williams. They drafted Justin. No. Okay? That is so far away. It's the same thing where, you know, set aside Fred Taylor, people say, oh my God, are they going to draft another kid out of Florida? I think the Jags, the most players they've ever had out of one school is the University of Florida. I want to say it's like 13. Again, the Jaguars do a really good job with their yearly press release on the draft. They do a good job over there anyway, but they do a really good job here with this draft release. Yeah, the Gators, the Jaguars have drafted 13 Gators. It's more than any school. Then it's USC with 8, Florida State 6, and then a bunch of schools at 5, including Notre Dame, LSU, Georgia, Arkansas, and Auburn. But again, there are some small-minded people who will say, oh, you can't draft a guy from Georgia. You can't draft a guy from Florida. I mean, for crying out loud, they drafted Taven Bryan from Florida. They drafted Reggie Nelson from Florida. They drafted, Derek Harvey from Florida. No, stop it. Everyone's different. Those trends don't apply. Now, if you want to go to Trent Baalke and say he hasn't drafted a wide receiver in the 3 years that he's been in this organization, not named Parker Washington in the sixth round last year, didn't draft a wide receiver in 2022, and didn't draft a wide receiver until the sixth round in 2021 with the name of Jalen Camp, that's fine. That's a trend there that absolutely can be applied. It doesn't feel like, historically speaking, and I don't want to contradict myself. I don't want to be a hypocrite, but it kind of feeds into my argument. He's never been a big fan of drafting wide receivers. He didn't do that as well in San Francisco. But again, that is being somewhat of a hypocrite. I just, some of these, you know, traps that you get set towards, I think are really unfair. And that would be a couple of examples of them. Back to Balky. We've got a Balky defender, and I love Balky defenders. If you come in as a Balky defender, I'm going to read it on the text line. 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. 7646 says, Ballou, you can't grade a guy on just the first year, especially a tight end, one of the hardest positions on the team to play in the NFL. You're exactly right, 7646. That's why whenever I do anything about this, I'm quick to say it could work in year two. And most prominently, I say that about Tank. But whenever I talk about Strange, Tank, Ventrell Miller, or Tyler Lacy, I automatically say, could happen this year. My point, you can't do that with your top picks this year. You can't redshirt them. There are holes. Last year was a different feeling. They dominated late in the year. They came from behind, including the playoff game against Los Angeles. They were ahead of the curve. The expectations grew. And for the most part, they walked it back. They didn't add a lot, and I get it, they didn't have money, but they had plenty of draft capital, and they missed based on the first year. And Balky was asked about it, and not recently, but I want to say around the combine. And he said it's rare to find a lot of starters in the rookie draft. And, of course, there was a couple of examples this year that would go against that point, including what we saw with Detroit's rookie draft class. What I'm trying to get at is, for the 2024 season, you can't have production from your second rounder, Brenton Strange, like you had last year, or your third rounder, Tank Bigsby, like you had last year, or your fourth rounders, Miller or Lacy, like you had last year. If that's the case, this team's not going to get any better. It has to get better. You've got to be able to find a couple of these guys who can come right in and play. That's why, you know, I think there's really five positions of enormous need within this organization. And it feels like tonight it's all about corner and wide receiver. And I get it. I understand it. You can never have enough offensive linemen. Okay? Listen to Tommy McManus, who joined me last night. I mean, you can never have enough offensive linemen. Where's your respect right now on what this organization has done recently with offensive linemen? Well, again, should be an A-plus with Anton Harrison. Asking him to play a position he's not familiar with. Cooper Hodges, same boat as Tyler Lacy. Excuse me, same boat as Ventrell Miller. A lot of people believe that Cooper Hodges is your future at right guard. Boy, I hope so. But he's a seventh-round pick who didn't play, who was injured. I mean, that's wishful thinking, right? Luke Fortner, third round 2 years ago? What else? Walker Little, second round, 2021? So there are your four wide receivers. One is weak and can't play, Luke Fortner. The other has been absolutely screwed around in this organization, perhaps as bad as any football player I've ever seen by the Jaguars and Walker Little. They've just treated him awfully. And again, hope is being held out on Cooper Hodges. And Anton Harrison, he's an A. He's an A. He's an A or A+. So that's fair. But offensive line, yes. Defensive line. We keep hearing about a pass rusher. And they addressed defensive line last year. They did it with Tyler Lacy. They tried to make it work there. And again, I think he's got a real opportunity. They tried to address it a couple of years ago with Jay Toufele, and it failed. I think they're going with an offensive lineman real high in this draft class. I would think in the top three rounds, that is going to happen. even though they made the addition of going out and getting Armstead. There just appears to be, you know, too many guys that just give you spot duty. And, you know, Gotsis and Ledbetter, Jeremiah Ledbetter, you know, kind of snap count guys. They're going to give you 10, 12, 15 a game. There's room for an upgrade there. So I think those are the positions that we would look at most when it's all said and done as to what we believe the Jags are going to do tonight. How's our poll looking over there, JJ? We actually have a question of the night, the Into the Night question, four different scenarios for our listeners that they can get to by going on Twitter at 1010XL.
Yeah, which scenario lines up best in your opinion for the Jags by the end of tomorrow night? T. Higgins is in the lead, very close, though. Second is Arnold / A. Mitchell.
Have you voted yet?
I put the poll out. I don't think it lets you vote.
Are you like one of those that's like, let's not drink the profits? It's like, you know, owning a bar and you don't drink in the bar because that would be the problem. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't get high on your own supply.
Oh, I mean, we'll go. Look at Detroit, for crying out loud. I mean, I want to move to Detroit. It looks like it's 85 degrees out there.
That's a statement that hasn't been said in a long time.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but man. That is outstanding.
I like that they put the draft on the road.
I do too.
Like, at first I was like, okay, they're having it outside in Cleveland. Like, who cares? Like, just have it in Vegas every year. But the people have shown out. And what did they have in Nashville?
Yep.
Cleveland, Vegas, and now Detroit. And I'm surprised by the turnout to just go watch. You're really watching nothing.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that sooner or later, the downtown's going to get built. So I'm going to say by the year 2050, yes, the NFL draft will be here in Jacksonville.
Will Balky still be the general manager?
How's 2050? Okay, will you take the over or under on that year?
Yeah, I'd probably take the over. I don't know if the draft's ever coming to Jax.
1 hour and 10 minutes away from the National Football League draft. This is what dreams are made of. More talk on J.J. McCarthy. All of a sudden, it feels like he's the wild card here, right? Williams, Daniels, May, 1, 2, 3. Is Arizona going to move that pick to a team that wants to get on up there and get J.J. McCarthy? All right, the poll is there. Again, you can get it on Twitter. Please comment if you want, but vote. What would your feelings be if Jacksonville had to give up a lot, but did make that move into the top 10 tonight to get one of those wide receivers? Okay. I wouldn't advise it. I would stay. But it feels like those feelings right now are somewhat legitimate. I did not buy this a week ago. I didn't. Yeah, I left the presser convinced that if they move up, it would only be a few spots to get a DB. And I also left the presser a week ago convinced that the Trevor Lawrence contract was going to get done before the beginning of the season. Those are my two main takeaways from the presser. Here we are next to it, and it feels like it is building a little bit. I'm moving into the top 10 to get a wide receiver. So give me your comments on that as well. Again, always the best way to get on in is our text line. That is 641-1010. That is brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. You can also get us on Twitter, Baloo1010XL.
Into the Night with Rick Baloo on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's all about the Jaguars' brain trust tonight. Shad Khan. Tony Khan, more on them in a moment. General manager Trent Baalke and his pick and approach at number 17.
There's a lot, as you know, that goes into it. You know, we feel good about the group that's there, you know, and at different positions, you know, that we're focused in on a little bit. But you don't know what's going to happen. You know, you really aren't going to know what we're going to do until maybe the 12th or 13th pick. You know, and then we'll look at the opportunity to potentially move up, you know, and if we get to 16 like we did last year and somebody calls and there's a chance to move back one or two, you know, You just don't know. It's you're playing it on game day.
Sergeant Bulkey owns the room, and I'm forecasting a big night, a big couple of nights, and I think it begins in an hour and some change. I'm expecting a great football player to be brought here to Jacksonville. Okay. There has been a developing scenario for the Jaguars brain trust and draft class, which begins tonight. Some of you may not have seen, but Tony Khan last night was severely injured in the ring. AEW, it was like a different form of a pile driver, which, you know, I've been in and out of wrestling. People get in and out of drugs, in and out of, you know, women cheating on women. I get in and out of wrestling. It's kind of always been like my male soap opera. Right now I'm totally removed from it. I can't be any farther away from it. I just don't have the time. But he took on a Meltzer driver last night. Let me start by saying I didn't think Tony Khan could ever walk again. And he's been shown now with a brace on his neck. Shad Khan was there, walked into the ring, incredibly concerned. So analytically speaking tonight, this could have some sort of effect on what the Jaguars are going to do. And I know that all the reporters will be on scene tonight. They're live down at the Miller Electric Center. We'll do their very best to get us caught up with that. But
Feels bad, like dumb to hurt your employer like that.
Who would ever hit their boss?
I know, right? Well, I guess we've seen it happen with McMahon a lot. You know, he was blown up, allegedly. But, yeah, I love this. I always love when the owner of the company is part of the show.
You're so young, you don't even know what happened to me in 1998, do you?
I just wanted to know. Well, I'm sure a lot.
When it comes to hitting your boss.
I've heard,
But I'm just kidding. It never happened, nor would it ever happen. But I'm sure that 99.9% of our listening audience just wants.
Just pile drive them?
Would love
straight into the canvas.
To be able to give a Meltzer driver to your boss and just leave them sprawled right in the middle of the hallway, like on a Friday afternoon.
Everybody walks past
them. And just head out. So
see you Monday, boss.
With that said,
yes,
we may have a little something for you from the AEW, but that's coming up next hour. We're going to make you wait. We're going to radio tease that for another hour. But in the meantime, we certainly wish our very best and a speedy recovery to the entire Khan family,
yes,
including Tony Khan.
Thoughts and prayers.
All jokes aside, Tony Khan's a really good dude. He is. The longest conversations I ever had with Tony Khan was staying in the Grove in London. And this was when we were there for a week. We flew from Cincinnati. There was a Gus Bradley-led Jags and the team playing. We ate in that famous place in Cincinnati, that place up on the
hill. Skyline Chili?
I think that was it. Gosh, I can't remember. But we flew from Cincy to London, and we didn't stay in our normal spot in London until like the day before or 2 days before the game, which is right across the street from Wembley. We stayed in a place called the Grove. And the only way I could describe it to you is kind of like, imagine Loch Ness Monster. Okay. And,
sounds beautiful.
I was there for a week. I didn't see the sun once. Okay.
Yep. That's par for the course.
It was dark. It was gray. And that was that. It was a week spent in London, but Tony Khan, I mean, just talking to him about everything under the sun.
Yeah, he comes on 1010 every once in a while. He's a good guest. Someone says Tony Khan should announce the pick for round two tomorrow in a neck brace, arm in a sling, black eyes rolled up to the podium in a wheelchair by his dad. Hilarious.
Unbelievable.
The Montgomery Inn is the place in Cincinnati, someone said.
Okay.
Skyline Chili is a fast food restaurant, so I don't know if Tony Khan went there.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember. Because I'm not a foodie. You know, like, and I would go out with those guys, like, log him in, we'll tell you, he'll tell you about a place in New York, And he'll even bring up a steakhouse here in town. I'm not going to plug it because they don't spend money on a radio station, and I'm a team guy. But Lagerman's a legitimate foodie who can, like, tell the difference between a great piece of meat, a great steak. Like, you know,
he's not going to Longhorn Steakhouse, folks.
You know what? I think Longhorn Steakhouse makes a hell of a steak.
Do they? I have never even been there.
I've never been disappointed.
I love that.
And that's kind of my point. I mean, whenever you go to India, you go to St. Elmo's.
Yeah.
And the shrimp cocktail is amazing.
It
but
looks massive.
Whether I'm paying $125 for a steak or $25 for a steak, I honestly cannot really tell the difference.
I love that.
And
the Montgomery Inn has to have been where you guys went. This looks classy and like it is on a hill. It's a steakhouse. It's like has like big glass windows overlooking the river.
Okay.
Looks sick.
Okay. Oh, this is the best text of the day.
Longhorn is effing awesome.
3804 says JJ is such a hater.
Yeah.
Draft is coming to town before 2030. Book it. Well, it was actually me. It was Baloo who said 2050.
Now, 2050, if he would have said that, I don't really have an argument against that. But 2030, bro.
No way.
No way that's happening.
It's not gonna happen. No.
We looked it up. Next year's already been selected. It's actually at Lambeau, which I think this will be the first draft at a stadium. But, yeah, you know the NFL hates Jacksonville. That's not happening.
Do you own a shovel? I don't. If I need anything done around my house, I hire. Do you have a shovel?
I have an apartment, so no, I
was
going
to say, we need a shovel because we need to create a bit. We need to go out there and just put a shovel in the dirt somewhere downtown. Right?
And, like, take a picture, have a hard hat on.
Just try to get the spirit up that something is actually going to happen in our lifetime downtown. Hell,
a ribbon ceremony,
I get
maybe.
Paid Tuesday. I'm going to go buy a shovel. I know the guy. I bet you the guys over at the Miller Electric Center, I bet you they could provide us with a couple of hard hats. Over at Miller Electric. We're
going to
do that. Let's go down there, and that's it. Just one shovel. As a matter of fact, I need two shovels. One for you, one for me, two hard hats.
And just like stadium renovation has begun.
Just stick a shovel in there and tell the people, for crying out loud, someday it'll come. Someday you will finally have a downtown. We're going to do that. Trust us. That is going to happen. All right, much more to do up until 8 o'clock. Rick, can you talk about Florida State? Absolutely. I can talk about, I can talk about Florida as well, right? Ricky Pearsall. That's it. Florida State coming up. but that was Florida State last year, right? Didn't they have one guy drafted? I think it was Jamie Robinson. That was it. It was like, what happened? But, been kind of going through that cycle. I talked about the Noles earlier in the week with Niall Lawrence Stample. But, yeah, I'll spend a couple of minutes on that coming up. No question about it. It's great to have you with us. We are with you tonight up until the NFL draft, which begins at 8 o'clock.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
So much material. So many rumors. Someone calm down. Diana Russini. He is all over the place tonight doing the Lord's work right here on the as we preview the NFL draft. How's our poll looking over there, JJ? I'm crying out loud. It's not too often. I think it's our first ever
poll
on Into the Nights.
People like T. Higgins, which, I mean, I'm not shocked by that. So which scenario lines up best in your opinion for the Jaguars? And this would be after the second round, after tomorrow night. So basically it's a tie up top. T. Higgins has a barely a lead, but Arnold and A. Mitchell is just as many people want that scenario as they want T. Higgins. Mm-hmm. And there's certain people, what about Ayuk? We still have a chance if Balky doesn't ruin it. Someone says, where do I write in? Bowers. But yeah, the loser right now is Thomas and Jenkins.
Okay. Interesting, because Brian Thomas Jr., man, I think a lot of people believe that if they stand put at 17, that is where they go. If those top corners are gone, if Arnold and Mitchell are gone, getting another Mitchell, or excuse me, Chris Jenkins would be the second part of that equation, the very talented defensive tackle out of Michigan. This a little bit long when he goes on to say it's too early to grade draft classes. And anyway, I don't know if we talked about this on air or not, with the tight end and the top part of the class outside of Anton Harrison. And you're exactly right, but let me specify this. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what JJ says. It matters what you hear. And whenever I talk about last year's draft class, I'm quick to say, give it time to see what will happen in year two. The difference is this. When we get to the draft, it's always about value. It's very rarely about need, which is a bunch of crap. It's a bunch of hogwash. It's always about need, okay? There's something scientific or something that I'll never know. And I'll give credit to Balky. He actually came out last Thursday and said that we have some obvious needs. You almost never hear that word mentioned by the general manager, even though the reporter is going to ask it and ask it and ask it and ask it. How many times that we have previewed this draft have I had guests on? I've had conversations with it with JJ. I've had conversations on it where you have responded, where I have openly wondered, everything equal as far as talent, what are the most important positions after quarterback? It's left tackle. It's pass rush end. You can argue that. Used to be corner at four. His corner moved up. His right tackle. Look at Sewell's deal yesterday. The highest paid tackle, highest paid offensive lineman in football. He's a right tackle. Is it? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not a running back. Okay? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not a tight end. Unless you're getting a Bowers. And unless you're getting someone that is just spectacular. I mean, tight ends and running backs and safeties and offensive guards, they are way, 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 way down. And why I thought it was a draft class last year that showed somewhere in between arrogance and ignorance is you went out and got a tight end and a running back with your second and third round pick, where we spent all off season doing what? Well, I, for one, always yell about the offensive line. They got Anton Harrison. Frankly, it wasn't enough. What about a pass rusher? All last year, pass rush, pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. They waited to the fifth round to get an undersized pass rusher. That's my problem. They got too clever. They got too smart. Doesn't mean that those guys won't end up being good football players. Again, doesn't matter what I say. It matters what you hear. They can't make that same mistake this year. They can't use those picks 2 through 5 and get nothing out of them. You can't win. Okay? And that's on Balky, but this franchise is still hemorrhaging from the just worst draft class that this franchise has ever had in 2020. I mean, the only one who remains from 2020 is Devon Hamilton, right? I mean, look at this thing. How do you recover from this? C.J. Henderson, Kalavon Chaisson, Laviska Shenault, Devon Hamilton, Ben Barch, Josiah Scott, Shaq Quarterman, Daniel Thomas, Colin Johnson, Jake Luton, Tywood, how do you recover from that? You had 2 first-round picks. You had picks 9, 20, 42, and 73. And it produced C.J. Henderson, Kalavon Chaisson, Laviska Shenault Jr., Devon Hamilton. I want to move on to tonight, but I'm just saying that it's a shock they made it to the playoffs in 2 years later in 2022. It really is. But it's the same thing applies to last year. If you get them, you know, if you're going to make what is described as, I would say, kind of fringe picks or picks where you believe you have guys who are already set at that position, at least do it in the ditch. At least do it on the offensive and defensive line. Not at running back and tight end. That's my point. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. 7035, excuse me. Jags are taking a wide receiver. Bulky realized that if he can't find a way to get Trevor to the next level, he is out. I love it. The only thing I love more is an offensive line. Tom McManus on me last night has said this better than anyone that I know. And I say it respectfully. Trevor has the weapons. He does not have the protection. This football team can go out and win right now on Sunday with their weapons. Can this football team go out there right now and win with that offensive line? Can they run the ball? You watched them. I watched them. They were the coward of the county against Tennessee. They turned the other cheek on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1. Gutless, yellow, uncalled for. You need 1 yard. And they were running the old 39 periwinkle. They were, what in God's name? What were they doing? You need a yard. Man up and pick up a yard. And he walked it back. Again, they get paid millions. I hope they're right. This ain't, Blue needs to be right. I hope they, I want to see you people happy. Kidding me? They're better weaponry around Trevor than they are protecting Trevor. So, all along, I go offensive line. I'd be shocked if they do. But I have no problem getting a wide receiver. You know, my gut tells me, and I'm not on a limb here, but my gut tells me they're going to draft the best available corner. I think they'd be happiest by getting Quinyon Mitchell. That's my guess. He appears to be the most well-rounded corner in this draft class. A very physical guy, 20 reps of 225, 6'195", and a 4.33, 38-inch vertical. Shut down everyone at the Senior Bowl. Yeah, the lack of competition on Saturday in his career is somewhat alarming because he did not play in a Power 5 conference. There's some talk that he's not a great cover man-to-man corner. That may scare you. And that would kind of be perfect, right? Jackson will go ahead and pick a guy who hasn't done it that way before. You know, I can see it right now. The first question to Quinyon Mitchell. Yeah, Quinyon, you've never played man before. You're going to be asked to be the main man cover now under Ryan Neal. I mean, it makes perfect sense, right? I mean, get a guy and ask him to do something he's never, but they're not going to do it every play. That's nonsense. I don't care what the numbers said. Even Bulky. Remember when Bulky, everyone kind of looked at him, and they're like, what's he talking about? He says it's really not man-to-man. It's also kind of zone. Bulky was actually right the way he described that. This was 18 days after the end of the season when he discussed it. I think it was. Or maybe it was after the hiring of Ryan Nielsen. That was it.
Yeah.
It wasn't 18 days. It was after the hiring of Nielsen. We've heard from Bulky 4 times. Wow. It's like record setting. Usually every time we hear from Bulky, like the Kardashians gone through about 6, 7, 8 different dudes. That hasn't been the case so far this offseason. Been 4 times we've already heard from him, and I love it. But that'd be my guess. Again, Trent didn't reach out to me. I would go offensive line. And I know you hate it. I know you people hate it. I know. Shut up, Baloo. You know, they got Ezra. They got Ezra Cleveland. They got Cam back. Oh, Cam's this, Cam's that. Yeah. Yeah. Paying Cam $19 million more than they're paying Walker Little. And they've screwed over Walker Little. $19 million more. For what? $19 million. Think of what this organization could do with $19 million. Cam Robinson's $19 million better than Walker Little. That's what they're paying him. And the production's better? It's not. It's not. Not even close. Yada, 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 yeah. Why not Brian Murphy? You know what? I have no problem at all with doing anything on the offensive and defensive line. I almost put Byron Murphy on our list. It feels like if they don't go wide receiver or corner at 17, the position they would go is a highly regarded position. That's a pass rush end. I've seen Verse there quite a bit. Verse will be the first Florida State Seminole selected. He'll go in the first round tonight. I think he'll be the only first rounder to go. I think you'll see two in the second round with Keon Coleman. Trey Benson in the third. I think Braden Fisk goes. So I think you get three Seminoles in the second round. You get quite a few on Saturday as well. I think they're going to end up having 10 to 11 guys drafted. It's Renardo Green's going to get drafted. Johnny Wilson's going to get drafted. Probably third, fourth round guys. Jones is going to get drafted. Probably in the fourth or fifth round. Lovett around that time is going to get selected. Jaheim Bell, probably a little bit, should have mentioned his name. I don't have anything in front of me. Should have mentioned him before, a couple of those other players. Probably will go in the, fourth round. What I'm really interested to see is if those two linebackers go. Great players on Saturday. They don't win those games last year without Bethune and Kalen DeLoach. They don't beat Clemson without that play with Kalen DeLoach. Akeem Dent. They could. They could end up having 11 players selected. Great year for Florida State. But it feels like if they don't go wide receiver or corner, there's been a little bit of talk of a rush end perhaps being there for Jacksonville. Here's one that you haven't heard almost anything about. What if Jacksonville elected to trade down? Right? And I'm not talking about, a Bill Belichick trading out of the first round. And the reason why Belichick did that is because he was always drafted in the 30s, 31, 32. But what if Jacksonville, and I don't have the draft order in front of me either, but what if it was 17 and all of a sudden, a team offers more capital and Trent Pucky loves to trade down. What if all of a sudden you're going from 17 to the early 20s? But you can pick up an additional really good pick. If they believe their board is going to stay true to what they have. See, we don't know their tiers. We don't know. If there's a guy right around 17 that they just absolutely have to have, and my guess there would be it's a corner. If they really have Arnold graded very high, or if they have Mitchell graded very high, and all of a sudden, Indy's there at 15, and you're getting to pick 13, 14, maybe the best case scenario would be if Indianapolis moved up. They've talked that they're interested in Brock Bowers. Todd McShay said that Jacksonville is interested in Brock Bowers. They could be. I don't see it. I'm hoping that that is just somewhat of a smokescreen to maybe create a little bit more juice to force Indy to maybe have to up that ante. But that'd probably be best to get Indy out of 15, have them move up. Let's say they moved up to 9, 10, or 11. Because what's going to run through your veins tonight and what's going to raise your blood pressure tonight is this draft moves forward. And again, we're going to have a record-setting offensive class tonight. You can have three straight quarterbacks. You could have four if a team deals with Arizona. You could have 10 straight offensive players tonight, if not 9 out of 10. You can have 10 offensive linemen, at least 5 wide receivers, could have 6 or 7, could have 5 quarterbacks, possibly 6. A record-setting year for offensive players out of 32 selections. The record's 19. It's going to be north of 20. So if all of this is happening, and the defensive and defensive and defensive and defensive players are still on the board, I know that you're going to be looking at Indy two spots ahead of you, and you're going to say, dadgummit, they're going to take the guy that you want. I can feel it. That's your pressure. So, yeah, to give up more and move up, if Indy makes that move, I think under that scenario, it'll be okay. I can understand the feedback. It's going to be, why was Ballard so aggressive? Why wasn't Bulky aggressive? And I know that that part's going to happen as well. I mean, that's kind of par for the course. The 54-34 just asked the most obvious question that I have received in 32 years of doing this. And the answer is yes. Are you ready for the question?
Please.
Baloo, do you think ESPN will go to a commercial break before the Jaguars pick? Everyone picks on us. Can't they just leave us alone once? Jaguars are on the clock. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. All right, we got much more to do with you tonight as well until 8.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
On your way to the Blue Crab Crab House, can't think of a better place to watch the National Football League draft. Can't think of a better place to watch Bill Belichick interview Roger Goodell. Bill Belichick interviewing Roger Goodell. That is happening right now. Blue Crab Crab House. Make sure you visit them. Open every day, but Monday, right off of Joint Creek Road. They are on, right off of San Jose on Joint Creek Road. Are you kidding me? Bill Belichick interviewing Roger Goodell?
Yes, I just have a screenshot of it. I don't know if the interview is live right now or if it's going to air later, but yeah, if you don't know, Belichick is doing the draft coverage with Pat McAfee. I've already seen like leaked pictures of him like breaking down the draft board for Pat. And now I see a picture of him sitting down with a one-on-one interview with the commissioner of the National Football League, his arch nemesis, Roger Goodell.
There's so much I want to say right now, but this is a Jacksonville-based audience. I mean, this is awesome.
Yes.
This is spectacular. If there's like the if you were to rank in order the guy who treated the media outside of Bobby Knight, and Bobby Knight at times had charisma, had a style. Bill Belichick was awful. Now, Patriot fans loved him for it. He had a cult following, but he was awful to the media. I felt this way about when Tom Coughlin was out for a year. And when Coughlin got fired here before he went to New York, he like spent a year in the media or spent some time. I don't know if it was after the regular season or whatever it was, but it was like all of a sudden, it's like, what? Tom Coughlin's doing the media?
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. I might have been in Chicago when that happened. A very short period of time. I don't know if it was in between a firing and a rehiring or if he actually had a year off. I would have to look back at his resume again. But there's like certain folks that you're just like, you've got to be kidding me. You hear this a lot with players who are jackasses, like the Sharps. Sterling Sharp, Shannon Sharp. These were just awful human beings. How do they get jobs as members of the media? Well, same applies here for Belichick. I mean, I'll go back and listen. I'm intrigued by it. But it's just like, wow, man, there's so many others who would be better at it. I don't want to say the word more qualified because Belichick is certainly qualified for it. But, you know, guys that you would think would enjoy it a little bit more, that would work at it a little bit more. I mean, you just throw a huge bone to this guy. And again, I love Belichick.
Yeah, but if you're a director, a producer, or somebody like this, you don't care about that. This is gold right here. You have the guy who went at war with the commissioner for years, and now you have the opportunity to have them sit down for a one-on-one. Like, yeah, I don't care about this guy who went to journalism school, you know, on the payroll. Like, let's get Belly out there.
There's no doubt. You can have the most qualified journalist in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, when's the last time Roger Goodell has ever told the truth or the last time Roger Goodell has ever told us something like,
exactly,
that we're like, what? Outside of, you know, that unforgivable stuff on CTE and how the concussions only went up because doctors have now have more advanced equipment.
And how actually with a 17-game schedule, there's less injuries.
And the less concussion. Yeah, yeah. That was the best. All right, let's get to our, what do you have for us?
So I have two, so we told you about the cons and
right.
how they were on location for the AEW show on the 24 last night. Well, they might be there again because AEW is still in town. They will be at Daly's Place this Saturday. So AEW Collision and Rampage, I have two tickets for April 27th show at Daly's Place.
All you got to do is answer this question. No cheaters. If you can tell JJ the answer to this question, you are going. I'm going to give you a lot of hints. Who is the heaviest player ever selected by the Jacksonville Jaguars? He's a lineman. No kidding, Blue. Defensively. And he also played around here for quite a bit. I'm not going to give you a trick question about a guy that was snatched up and hung around through camp and maybe played a couple of games and was cut. No, this was a man who played for a significant amount of time. The heaviest Jacksonville Jaguar player ever drafted. Okay? 641-1010 to get an opportunity to tell JJ, and you can win a couple of tickets. Do we have to take another break? Or are we good?
Yeah, one more.
We got to take one more. Man, I don't want to. I'm having so much fun here tonight. Why don't we do that? Why don't we take our final one of the night? Because we've been really extending everything here and got to get caught up. But it has been a blast, and the participation from you has been absolutely spectacular. Let me see if I can get the results of our latest poll as JJ is getting ready to take these phone calls. Again, asking for the heaviest player ever selected by the Jags. And again, it was a defensive player, and it's certainly a guy who's played quite a bit around here. All right, right now, 36% are saying T. Higgins straight up. The question was, over the next two nights, what would be the best-case scenario? The Thomas Jenkins, well, that's dead last. It actually goes T. Higgins one, the Terry and Arnold Mitchell combination, Arnold the DB, Mitchell the wide receiver, is second at 33%. Third place at 22% is Quinyon Mitchell and Keon Coleman. And then coming in way, way, way down at only 9% is the combination of Thomas Jr., the wide receiver out of LSU, and Jenkins, Chris Jenkins, the defensive tackle out of Michigan. You can still vote. Just go to Twitter, 1010XL, 92.5 FM, and submit your vote. All right, when we come back, we'll put our final touches on this one. My final thoughts, JJ's final thoughts on the draft tonight. We can already hear what is going on down at the bank. It sounds loud. Sounds like it's going to be a great night for the Jaguars to try to go out and become a better football team. We'll take you up until 8, and then at that time, the NFL draft officially is underway.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Congratulations to Dante. He is the winner to the tickets coming up on Saturday night. AEW in town. Speedy recovery. We're all wishing for Tony Khan, who was nearly paralyzed last night in the middle of the ring.
We should give the answer to the...
Four against one. Yes. Why don't you give it up?
Big John Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
A pretty easy one. One of the legends of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I'm guessing he was over 350.
Says here he was selected in 2002 at 335 pounds.
Oh, not quite.
Svelte.
Right. Yes. First rounder, right?
This guy's kind of calling out a put. What's that?
First rounder, correct?
Big John? Big John, was he first or second round?
He was a first round, ninth overall. Jeez.
He was. Yeah.
You don't see many tackles getting taken that high.
No. Those were a couple of my years that I was gone in Chicago. Okay, 2000. I went right after the playoff game in 2000 and then came back here before the start of the 2006 NFL draft, which is just amazing because I know I've been here for since then, which is like 18-plus years. Mercedes Lewis was the top pick that year. And he was still playing.
Right?
You know, he played last year. I don't know. I don't believe he's been snatched up. I believe he's still a street free agent.
Yeah, he is, unfortunately. That might have been the end. 39 years old. Turns 40 in May.
Here we go. Here we go right now. 6121, some dating advice. Hey, Rick, ex-Jags football player at a watering hole, 30-year Jags fan, is on his first date trying to impress his date. Does he go up and try to bother Tommy McManus? Hell yeah. And I think McManus is doing a podcast or something. Go right up and interrupt him. Yeah. I had Tommy Mac on last night. It's like that old Don Rickles bit with Johnny Carson, where Frank Sinatra's there with Johnny Carson and Don Rickles, and Rickles does this big bit where I guess the girl's in the powdering her nose. He goes up to Frank Sinatra's table and says, "Frank, you do me a favor, try to impress this girl. Will you come on by and say hello to me when you're done?" Frank's like, "Sure, sure. I'm finishing up. I'll be there in a minute." So they're having dinner. Frank Sinatra gets up, walks over to Don Rickles and his date, says, "Don, how you doing? What's going on?" And Don Rickles looks at Frank Sinatra and says, "Frank, I'm having dinner here. Can't you leave me alone?" One of the great, I mean, back when, hey, can you imagine there was actually a time where late night didn't waste all of their time ripping on politics and trying to divide our country?
Crazy.
They actually made people laugh. It was all about entertainment.
When did that change? I guess with Trump. I mean, even with Leno and Letterman, you didn't get any of that.
I don't know, but it's such a shame because the best thing that anyone can do is laugh. When the moment that you are laughing, whether it's for 3 seconds or 10 seconds, you seem to forget about everything else in the world and just roll through that laughter. That's why I haven't watched late night anything. And I can't remember the last time. It's just, it's more and more crap, man.
You don't tape the Colbert Show every night?
Sadly, I don't. All right, we got about, 90 seconds to go?
Yeah, about 2 minutes.
What's going to happen? You go first.
I think that they're just going to take the kid from Toledo, and I wouldn't hate that move. I think they need a cornerback. All the trade talk, I would love it. It would make things interesting if they went up and got one of those three receivers, but I just don't think Balky's going to do it. I hope he does. I would love to see Neighbors on the Jags next year. That would be sick.
And that has picked up some steam. It really has. The Todd McShay rumor is interesting. That Jacksonville is also considering moving up with Indianapolis to get Brock Bowers. If they trade and move up, I'm going to be all for it because they're going for it. And when you go for it, you got to give a lot of respect to a team that is trying to make moves to win. For the record, I would go offensive line. The highest ranked offensive lineman that they have, that is where I would go. And this is the fourth consecutive year I have said that. Or outside of Trevor Lawrence. I would go offensive line. I happen to think they are going to take the highest ranked corner on their board. So either be Arnold or Quinyon Mitchell. One of those two. We'll find out. Hey, tomorrow night we're here to review it. And the draft starts at 7 tomorrow night. That means we'll be here for the second round. How about that? Going to be a whole heck of a lot of fun. Folks, if you're going downtown, enjoy yourself. Please drive safe. Keep it right here. The entire draft starts in just a couple of minutes. Thank you to JJ LaSelva. My name is Rick Ballew. Enjoy the draft. We'll talk with you tomorrow night right here at 6 o'clock.